and the Warren County Radio Bible School, we've been looking at the book of Judges, and we see how the people of Israel that had came into the land and conquered the land, and yet they failed to keep themselves separate from the Canaanites. They intermarried with them. They even took upon themselves their gods, and they forfeited many of the blessings God would have had for them. One of the lessons we learn from this is illustrated by this, that is a lesson for us in the New Testament, is about the church and how the church must be separate from the world. James 1:27 talks about pure religion and undefiled, and what he calls that, he says to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It's not enough just to be religious. We've got to live a godly life, and that means keeping ourselves unspotted from worldly things. I want to read this. I read this in the last class, and I want to read it again. From 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me as sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 2 Corinthians 7:1. It is now dangerous for Christians to marry any but Christians. And Christians are forbidden to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. They're forbidden to love the world and the things of this world. 1 John 2:15 and 16. If you're in Christ, then you are not of the world, as Jesus was not of the world. But ye have been chosen out of the world, John 15:18-19, and John 17:14. Christians are to flee from idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10:14, and Galatians 5:19-21, and then Colossians 3:5 tells us covetousness is idolatry. God alone must be served. All lust, passions, and sins must be overcome. If not, they will remain in the heart as so many Canaanites to destroy the soul. Finally, well, we're going to continue with this lesson. This is a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of November the 28th, 1926. And I invite you now, if you have your Bible, to turn to that book of Judges from which we learn these things and learn from the, well, oftentimes a bad example from the children of Israel. And we're going to look in just a moment at Judges chapter 2. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, I want us to read about the place of weeping. We're going to look at Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And the angel of Jehovah came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I made you go up out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. ye shall break down their altars. But ye have not hearkened unto my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it shall come to pass, when the angel of Jehovah spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. That's Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto Jehovah. In my American Standard Version of this Old Testament chapter, where it has the name Bochim, Bochim, there is a footnote. And over in the margin, it says, Weepers. The name of that place was the place of the weepers, or the place of the weeping. Chapters 2, 1 through 5 states the result of the failure of the children of Israel from not driving out the people out of the land. It became then, where the angel spoke to them, it became a place of weeping. We have our places of weeping. Sin and sorrow cause us to weep. Our own mistakes and faults and failures, and sometimes the mistakes and faults and failures of others, bring us to tears. We're to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed, James 5 and verse 16. Well, in the book of Judges, God raised up for them judges. Now, they are deliverers. In chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 of the book of Judges, we read, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers, and they despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of Jehovah was against them for evil, as Jehovah had spoken, and as Jehovah had sworn unto them, and they were sore distressed. These spoilers were marauding bands of Canaanites who took away the cattle, the crops, and sold the people into bondage as slaves. God was no longer for them. God was against them. God's promises to curse or destroy are as sure as his promises to save and to bless. They realized their weakness and their sins. God punished them to humble and chastise them, to correct and discipline them. And verses 16 through 23 of chapter 2 states that when the people repented, Jehovah raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. These were not judges in the ordinary meaning of that term, but generals, leaders, and governors. They were deliverers. This book gives an account of most of these judges. God raised them up in the ways mentioned in this book and in the book of Samuel. And after God raised up a judge, he delivered them. And they turned back quickly and served other gods again. It says they dealt more corruptly than their fathers, until Jehovah said he would not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations that Joshua left, that by them he might prove Israel whether they would obey him or not. Let me read to you from Judges chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Here we read, And Jehovah raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those that despoiled them. And yet they hearkened not unto the judges, for they played the harlot after other gods, and bowed themselves down unto them. They turned aside quickly out of the way wherein their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of Jehovah, but they did not so. And when Jehovah raised them up judges, then Jehovah was with the judge, and save them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Jehovah because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. But it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they turned back and dealt more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods and served them and to bow down unto them. They cease not from their doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel. And he said, because this nation have transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened to my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations that Joshua left when he died, that by them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of Jehovah to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. So Jehovah left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now, we come to the book of Joshua chapter 3, and verses 1 through 6 gives a list of the nations that were left. In Joshua chapter 1, it relates the fact that Judah and Simeon fought against the Canaanites, and it states the result. And then Othniel, he was the first judge. He was the nephew and son-in-law of Caleb and a brave man. How did he win Caleb's daughter? Othniel delivered Israel from Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, whom they served for 8 years. And then the land had rest for 40 years. Let me read you that story. Judges chapter 3. Verses 7 through 11. And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and forgot Jehovah their God, and served the Balaam and the Ashtaroth. Therefore the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah, Jehovah raised up a Savior to the children of Israel, who saved them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of Jehovah came upon him, and he judged Israel. And he went out to war, and Jehovah delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Well, after Othniel, we read about a judge named Ehud. He was a left-handed man who slew Eglon, the king of Moab. Judges chapter 3, verses 12 through 30. And then the third judge was Shamgar, who slew 600 Philistines with an ox goad. We read about his history. It's all found just in this one verse, where it says in Judges chapter 3 and verse 31, after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, who smote of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. I want you to notice how it says that these judges saved Israel. You see, they were the saviors, the deliverers. They're called judges, but they are judges in the sense that they were their saviors. They were empowered by God with some authority. When I think of Shamgar slaying men with an ox goad, I think of a country boy. You know, he would have an ox goad to goad the oxen pulling the carts, and how he slew 600 with this farming implement against those that had swords. It just reminds me of Samuel, who will come later. And he will fight against the Philistines as Shamgar had done. Well, we're going to look more at this, and perhaps in our next class we'll look at the story of Deborah and Barak.